Noise is a comedy show here on 2SER 107.3. And it's about to start. But before we begin, we have been told by basically everybody that we have to warn you about our language and themes, because it might be offensive to some listeners. So, if that's you, well, sorry.
Sup fam, this is Loud Noise coming at you live this sexy Sunday evening right here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Will, and in case you haven't heard, Loud Noise is the only show in Sydney that doesn't have a bleeding heart for the left-wing liberals or pander to the bloody noisy alt-right bullshit brigade. So check your virtue signalling at the door. Spare yourself from any agenda-driven nonsense and just enjoy the next half hour of random noise.
Hey, hey, fancy people. Hannah here, and we've got a lot on offer this week thanks to politicians in parliaments and congresses all around the world, I'd like to say. But the big one that is sort of trumping it all is the Trump-Turnbull-Mexico transcript bombshell. There is a whole lot of sexy stuff going on there and some not so sexy stuff. Anyway, we've had terror threats in Sydney that we were on the scene to see. Will has been on the ABC News all week. He's officially a famous face now. There's been elections in PNG, gene editing, and lots more. So keep your equipment in your pants and get ready for some ear-cracking stuff and lols and keck and, you know, stuff.
So though, even if you're trigger averse, stick around. But before we kick it off though, make sure you get on over to 2SER.com/loud-noise. You can whine and moan and gripe and groan at the Loud Noise Show on Twitter. Or you can check out our fancy stuff at thecenter.com.au. And that's with an ER and not a bloody RA.
Yeah, we are American wankers around here. But before all that, yeah, I know. Why don't they shut up and start already? A word from our corporate money givers.
A lot of people who've been injured in accidents don't realise they might be entitled to compensation. But the truth is, if you have been injured, one phone call could change your life. A specialist injury lawyer can give you advice over the phone. Law Partners is Australia's largest specialist personal injury firm, and it costs nothing to call their local office and get some advice. Call Law Partners on 133 529 or visit lawpartners.com.au.
2SER sponsors.
This August, Think Inc. are proud to bring writer, broadcaster and scientific historian Kenan Malik to Sydney for one night only at the Seymour Centre for Kenan Malik Post-Truth Era. Kenan Malik will discuss the failure of multiculturalism, the rise of post-truth and how politicians feed off our fear of the other. On August 8, Think Inc. and Kenan Malik will challenge your concepts of truth and race. Book your tickets today at thinkinc.org.au. Think Inc., sponsors of 2SER.
Greetings, people from the future. You are listening to Loud Noise on 2SER 107.3.
Sub fam, we are back. Now, this week has seen the most ridiculous of stories getting thrown out there, well, not so much getting thrown out there as getting leaked, whether it's from the White House. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the little tit-a-tat, the transcripts between Trump and Turnbull and also Trump and Mr. Presidente Enrique from Mexico.
Is it big enough to call it Trump-gate or yet, or should we wait a little bit longer for him to do something a bit
Transgate?
More? Trumpgate.
Transgate.
Transgate, maybe. Okay, well, there you go. Transgate.
You can take that in a lot of different directions if you like. Hannah, what did you make of it?
Well, I thought it was pretty embarrassing for both Trump and Turnbull. Obviously, Trump can't keep anything in the White House. His staff, his bloody transcripts, his inner dealings with other world leaders. Everything's getting leaked. It's just a leaky old boat in there. And for Turnbull, like, he's had a pretty rocky week with the whole same-sex marriage thing. You know, he scored a few points with the Sydney terror thing, but his own party's pretty much biting him in the butt.
But in your opinion, though, does Turnbull win from what he said, or does Turnbull lose from how he's portrayed in the transcript? Because there's been differing opinions. You've got, like, you know, some sections of the Australian media, like the Australian, you've got one of the commentators there saying, you know, Turnbull proved that is like Australia First and he did a great job. Then you've got like SMH and ABC and all them saying that, oh, Turnbull's like a, he's a punk and he's this and he's that. In your opinion though, did Turnbull, was he masterful or was he just like a maelstrom of nonsense?
Well, whether he was masterful or not remains to be debated, but I think he won support in his own party. The right factions of the Liberal Party have been hating on him all week because of the same-sex marriage thing, and now they realise that he hates asylum seekers too, so they found this common ground.
But he doesn't hate asylum seekers.
Well, his policy is, you know, it's not exactly asylum seeker friendly.
But no, it is. Okay, this is the thing. A lot of people are going to gloss over the fact that within the transcript, what Turnbull actually says is, these people that are in Manus and Nauru right now, if they had come on a plane and gotten a tourist visa, he'd let them stay. He goes, they'd be living here right now. His whole point that he made throughout like the transcript and what has been like coalition and even Labor policy this whole time is that he's stopping the boats. You know what I mean? And he said repeatedly in this, what I found interesting was repeatedly in this conversation with Trump, what he kept saying was, we know who these people are. We've had them here for 3 years. They're economic refugees from Pakistan, Iran, Afghanistan. They're not going to, you know, cause any trouble for you, Mr. Trump or President, whatever the fuck, la la la. But that if they had flown here, like I just said, like if they had flown here on a plane, tourist visa, he'd be fine with it. Like I can't for the life of me fathom how it's really any different. Like, what about you? What do you think? Do you think there's a big difference between someone coming here on a boat and claiming to be this staunch right-wing, you know, champion and yes, we're stopping immigration, or flying on a plane?
Well, you know what? Not everyone has A, the money, and B, the resources, and C, like, I don't know, to get the visa, to get that whole process. If you're about to be shot by someone in the street that's been hating on you and your family for a long time, then it's not always easy to go through the official channels. Sometimes you need to smuggled in at night.
But in this instance, they weren't. He said it. He said he told Trump, or maybe he's like falsely, you know, telling Trump lies within this transcript, but he told Trump, these aren't people that have come from conflict zones. He goes, we know them. We've studied them for 3 years. These are people who, if they hadn't have come by boat, would have been welcome here and they'd be living here.
I know.
Do you think he was throwing the wool over Trump's eyes? Do you think he was trying to game the president into taking these refugees, and it's like him trying to play chess while Trump's playing checkers?
Well, I don't really know. Like he obviously wants Trump to take at least some of them so that he can look like he's kept his end of the, or he's kept his deal with America alive and there's good relations, la la la. And Trump doesn't want to take them because it makes him look kind of weak and shitty and weak on immigration, which was not really what he wanted. But the bigger question is, right, this leaky boat, is Trump sinking? Is it the Republican Party that's leaking this stuff? And is he going to last till the end of the year?
Is Trump going to last till the end of Turnbull?
Trump and Turnbull, I suppose, but Trump at the moment. 100%.
There's no way. He'd have to do something that's like, by law, something that he can be impeached for. And I do not think he's done anything. He's very clever in how he's always operated. He's extended this to his businesses or whatever. He's always separate. And as long as he's got that plausible deniability, you can't impeach him. Like, anyone that's saying that shit is nonsense.
Back to Turnbull. So your favourite political commentator, Peter Credlin, said he's not going to last till the end of the year.
Your favourite, excuse me. You're the one that jumps to a defence anytime something...
That was a little bit of a jab there, just to get you fired up. So she reckoned a few days ago, before this whole transcript thing leaked, that there's no way Turnbull is getting to the end of the year, not with... The party's just going to crumble, you know, around him. So what do you reckon? Has this helped him? Do you reckon he will make it to the goalpost at the end of the year, or do you think he's just generally fucked?
He shouldn't have started this year, is what I think. I don't think he's equipped to be Prime Minister. I think he's very good at, you know, the game he's trying to play. But it was even the things that he was saying to Trump, the way in which he was being like, oh, yeah, we're always going to be there for you again and again. It kind of read like, you know, he was about to jump on him. And not in like a, you know, attacking way with his fists. But I don't know, like, granted, he's very good at dealing with foreign issues because he's, you know, like, you know, any good former businessman and like any good barrister, he knows how to, you know, play all the sides. He's very good at getting people to think like, you know, Australia is their best friend. But in terms of domestically his policy, it's a joke. You can't have it every single way. You can't try and make everybody happy, and that's what he constantly tries to do, and it's just, it's not good for long-term planning for the country.
Okay, and on that note, we've got a song for you now, but we'll be back to talk about terror and airport security.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I sail in a sinking dinghy. Mediterranean headed for Greece. Get to a strange land, it make me nervous. They take me in and check my papers. And they ask, do you come from the land bombed under? Where women wail and men blunder. Could you hear Russian thunder? Have you run? Are you seeking shelter? My kid to Brussels, with my threadbare clothes and aching muscle. I try to speak their language. I'm hungry, please make me a sandwich. And I beg, I come from the land bombed under, where children cry, house torn asunder. Can you see all the jets from Russia? Allah. Nowhere to run, nowhere to find cover.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد.
I've been in a van making way to Berlin in Greece. I cannot stay. Merkel said to come, she tried to tempt me. She said come to my land of Nazi. And I cried, I come from the land bombed under, where women wail and men plunder. Here on a Putin's thunder, Allah. I had to run, I had to seek shelter. I come from the land bombed under.
And we're back. So unless you were hiding under a rock all week, you'll be pretty...
Stop stealing my lines.
Sorry. You'll be pretty across the whole Sydney terror threat thing that went down last weekend. And Will was at the scene covering it live for Loud Noise from Australia. And, you know, he ended up in some pretty sexy ABC footage, and he's been on your telly all week. Did you spot him? Where's William? The new favourite game for everyone.
I couldn't find the wizard, though.
You couldn't
find scrolls.
So, Will, what is this whole terror thing, and should we be worried at our airports?
This whole terror thing is... It depends on how you look at it, though. Whether or not you think that it's been overblown or whether you believe that this was like a really...
Mate, they had a sniffer dog at the scene.
They did.
Look, when there's a sniffer dog, you know that shit is serious.
And they had the hazmat suits too.
Hazmat suits. Yeah, so I was there too, guys.
Okay, so granted now there's two people that have been charged. But for me, this whole thing, the most ridiculous part of it is the dude that actually gave... all of this allegedly, this is how it happened. But I think one of them called Khaled, what he did was he made the bomb.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And put it in a suitcase, allegedly. Then gave, allegedly, that suitcase, allegedly, to his brother, allegedly, who didn't know, allegedly, anything was happening, allegedly. Took him to the airport, allegedly, and was going to put him on the flight, allegedly, with a suitcase with a bomb and not allegedly tell him.
Allegedly.
Like, I don't care if you're, a terrorist. I don't care if whatever, but how can you be that much of a dog that you do it to your own family?
Well, look, we all know that some sibling rivalries run deep, well, but then some just run deeper.
They must have been sleeping with the same goat.
Oh, dear. On that note, let's go to the Papua New Guinea election, Will. I think you're all over that one this week.
Apart from, my mishap on the share market, I sold out of a stock too early that I was, waiting until the Papua New Guinea election was all sorted. Basically, what's happened now is that Again, this is one of those ones, depends on how you look at it. Whether or not, you know, Peter O'Neill is a legitimate second term prime minister or indeed, you know, shenanigans. It's very much shenanigans in Papua New Guinea, like the whole process. Too much shenanigans. And it's very hard because I've got to cover Papua New Guinea. I don't want to say too much and lest I never ever be able to get another interview with anyone in the government again. But I don't know. It's a bit sketch, that country. And I think it's going to get a lot worse in terms of the shenanigans because a lot of people are coming to invest in the Pacific now. EU is going to be doing a massive, massive push coming up. And then you've got, you know, China wanting to pump even more money into the Pacific, Australia and New Zealand wanting to pump even more money into the Pacific. And the reason being, they'll say that they want to help these countries, that they want, you know, free trade, economic development. But really what they're trying to do is, oh my God, we can get shale oil. Oh my God, we can get the LNG, the natural gas that's, you know, hasn't been explored and it's in abundant supply. All these places that haven't been developed. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a shenanigan area for me.
Now, coming up next, we're going to talk the US versus North Korea. My missile is bigger than yours. Yes, we are indeed. So, here's a little tune to get you in the mood for a bit more Trump talk. Misophonia, the hatred of loud chewing. Loud noise.
I'm the Trump, and Clinton's going down. Yeah, I'm tough. Burn those towel heads to the ground. And you know, baby, my wall is for real. Vote for Trump in November, 'cause I make the best deals. Can't you see my awesome hair? I'm pushing back against the Clinton machine. My words, the best that you've seen. You can't understand what I mean? Well, why not? I'm Trump. Come on, you might as well. Trump. Pence as well. Trump. Billionaire. Trump. Everywhere. Trump. Oh, that Clinton lies about the email she sent. Hillary, don't vote for her. I can make America great again. Can't you see my awesome hair? I'm pushing back against the Clinton machine. I'm the American dream. A racist nightmare you're seeing? Come on. Come on, what the hell? Trump! I'm the best!
Sup fam, we are back now. As you heard, you know, before we had a little ditty for you, Hannah for some reason wants to talk about, you know, the pissing contest between the United States and North Korea. But, you know, whether or not it's really a pissing contest or United States is just shitting all over North Korea and on the chest and just... It's a bit, you know...
Well, the US had their first missile launch just to show what they could do. Just a little taste.
The THAAD there.
Oh, yeah, well, that's there too, but I think they had one...
No, that's what I'm saying, like to test the THAAD system. That's what that was... Like it was the same kind of system.
Yeah. So they were showing what they could do. And look, we're all wondering, is this Trump still being a little bit self-conscious about his allegedly small hands? Who knows? Maybe he just wants to show Kim Jong-un that his missile is bigger?
I think Trump has absolutely nothing to do with any of this. That's because I'm pretty confident he's just said to the military, you know what, have at it and just let me know what happens for the most part. Because I've been watching a lot of stuff about, you know, his mentality, and you've had like, you know, Gawker come on and say he's just given the military free range. Whether what that will eventually end up happening, how much actual, I don't know, operational control in terms of, yes, we're good to go, fire. I don't think he's that kind of president. Not with the army.
Well, maybe not, but he's not just done the missile launch wasn't the only thing this week. There was the sanctions that were against Russia and North Korea and Iran.
Who he's colluding with, by the way, Russia.
Yeah, who he's allegedly colluding with. And then they also put a travel ban on North Korea for all American citizen passport holders. And they said, if you're in the country, get the fuck out by September the 1st, or they'll probably end up like that kid, the one that died.
Oh, the one that died because, you know, he didn't understand how to get out of his... Oh, we've covered this before. I'm not going to get into it again.
We have indeed.
I don't think there's anything, you know... Unless they're planning on invading, I don't really think that, you know, North Korea would be stupid enough if an American went there... No. If an American went there and did nothing wrong to hold them hostage. Because then there's a definitive excuse. If they couldn't categorically prove that person did something, it's an excuse for America to then declare war.
I suppose, and then even China couldn't really say shit.
Yeah, but bringing China into it has a whole different...
But China's always in it. China's like, you know, China's the person that's holding the little balloon on the string that is North Korea.
No,
China's
no,
always
no,
in
no,
it.
No.
When North Korea is concerned,
no,
yes.
No, it's more to do when it comes to China, because a lot of people forget... Korea is connected to the Chinese peninsula. Like, it's not like its own little special island. It's actually connected, like, literally to China. So instead of it being, everyone thinks that China, like, enables North Korea. It's not that. It's just that they're a buffer between American influence in the South, like, in Southeast Asia.
Okay, I know you're saying that, but China doesn't not enable North Korea, because if China wanted to, they could shut that shit down so quickly.
No, they couldn't.
You look at what they did to South Korea.
You look at
what they did to the salmon industry in Norway.
No.
They say they can squeeze them economically.
The North Korean army is huge. If you try to starve out North Korea, whether you do it through like economic sanctions, like severe economic sanctions, what you're really saying is have this. It's like beating a dog. It's like a pit bull dog, North Korea. If you keep beating it and you keep beating it and you keep beating it and you deprive them of food, you deprive them of like any kind of like economic relief, what you're asking for is a situation where you have an army that has like 4 million and they can call up every single citizen of the country that has, because everyone, whether it be male or female, army training. And what you're saying is we've got like a land connection to a country. Let's beat this dog. What you're saying is have China do all these things to someone like North Korea, who you can just run across the border and attack. It might seem silly, but they've got a very powerful army.
Yeah, but are you saying that a coalition between South Korea, America, and China couldn't put this dog down?
No, I don't think so. Because to win, think about it. You're thinking, okay, we've got all these big armies, they can invade. But if you, it's like any time that you invade a country and you're trying to take away their sovereignty. How have all those wars gone in the past for anyone? I'm not just talking about in modern history, in Vietnam, whatever, but how have they gone for anyone? Unless you have like, you know, such a big differential between, say you're dealing with Africa or you're dealing with the Mayans or whatever, where the conquistadors in South America had guns and the Mayans, like, you know, they were had knives or whatever doing what they're doing. Same for Africa. But if you have an army that's as advanced as North Korea, even though it might not be like that neck level advanced that America is, unless you decide, okay, one, we're going to completely bomb the country, like carpet bomb it and just destroy everyone and kill millions of innocent people. If you're going to take that approach, yes, they could completely wipe out North Korea. Fine. That's one approach, but I doubt that's ever going to happen because the cost of doing that with the whole wider diplomatic community would be severe. Like North Korea would have to have nuked someone for that to even be like a question. Then you say, okay, how are we going to attack them then? Are we going to invade? You've got 4 million, and this is just in an army. Then all the artillery that they have, very advanced artillery, they've been stockpiling weapons for God knows how long. I'm nearly there. How many people are going to die fighting this war?
What if you cut the head off the snake?
It won't matter. It's not like
take Kim Jong-un out of there. The fuck are they fighting for?
They're fighting for the system that's been constructed. This has been not just over the past couple of years with Kim Jong-un, not just over the years before that with his father, not with his grandfather. This is like a three generation that's been ingrained in them. And if you have someone from, say, America, they say, oh, we're going to go assassinate Kim Jong-un. What you're doing is mobilizing an entire country that goes, yes, see, these Americans are dogs. They've come and invaded. They've come and invaded and killed our leader. It's more precarious than just like what people would, you know, all these like analysts or whatever want to like have people believe. You can't just go in and fight North Korea.
Look, I would actually not be for that policy at all. I'm against war. I'm against, you know, assassinations. I'm just interested in like what exactly is going to go on here and how it's going to play out both militarily and politically. And it just seems very complicated.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying to you. Can you imagine if, as like, you know, how the Americans say, right? And they say, oh, it's China. China has to do something. So say China stops providing them with any economic support. And I'm not talking like economic support, like giving them money. I'm talking, you know, buying their coal, oil, like all these other kind of things that just happen normally, which they have. They've imposed sanctions on them. But imagine every single country cuts off North Korea, right? In that kind of way, economically starves them. Yeah, they're going to have their money on the black market. But what happens next? If people are starving, people can't eat, people, you know, like there's already like pretty much famine conditions there now. But imagine there's nothing. There's nothing left. What do they do?
Well, they probably die because if there's already famine conditions, they're not exactly going to
get up and mobilize and fight.
They've
still got their army. They've still got their army, though. What I'm saying is, what do they have to do? Just like every other army in the history of the world's existence that don't have food, don't have thing, like they don't have sustenance, you go get it.
You're my special friend.
In a meter of plastic means that the flavor will be just fantastic. I like my onions tied up in red string. Veg tastes much better with extra wrapping. Chickens full grown in 8 weeks don't care how, as long as the flavor is good in my mouth. Pork that can't walk cause it's so boxed in makes the best ham and the pinkest bacon. Oyster and fish sauce, it all tastes delicious. Who cares if it's not exactly nutritious? Fish fillet sauce from the South China Sea, packed full of lead, copper and mercury. When the bread's shipped in from Ireland and Coles calls it fresh, it doesn't make me buy from anywhere else because it calls it costless. Let to slaughter, milk cheaper than water. Give me some veal and ice cream for my daughter. I don't want to pay more, so they'll live free range. From $50, I'm expecting change. Berries from China that might have Hep C, they make me vomit, but they are so cheap. Bananas in winter and citrus in spring, buy them from Spain like it don't cost a thing. Poor Aussie farmers, they can't make a buck, cause none of us shoppers gives a single f. When I hear they're bankrupt, oh, it makes me sing, cause these are a few of my favourite things. When my heart burns, when my tongue hurts, when I'm feeling ill, I try to forget where my food's coming from and look at my cheap food bill.
And that's that, fam. Time to bounce. But if you're just pining away for more of the good, you can slide on over to www.twsyard.com/loud-noise. You can gag and beg for it at Loud Noise Show on Twitter, or let your fingers do the stalking at thecentre.com.au.
And look, we're not saying that you have to, and I'm not saying you should be scared. You know, you can do what you want. You can. You really can. You can leave. But I don't know if you should, because it's probably safer right now where you are, because Jailbreak is up next. Until next week at 9, I'm Hannah.
And I'm William. Have a great rest of whatever you call the depression hours on a Sunday night before the realization actually hits that you have to get out of bed and look at less memes that you normally get to look at on a Monday as you do like shit day. And remember, the left is never right and the right is batshit crazy.